Welcome back for another deep dive. Today, we're going to try to help you understand a case that you wanted to know more about.
Yeah.
It's chauffeurs, teamsters, and helpers. Local No, 391 v. Terry.
Yeah, a really fascinating case.
It went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
It really does.
It gets
some interesting issues.
It's about workers' rights and unions.
Absolutely. And that Seventh Amendment guarantee of a right to a jury trial.
Right.
How does that apply in the context of labor law?
So in this case, we have a group of truck drivers,
mm-hmm.
and they felt like their union, the Teamsters Local 391, was not really on their side.
Right.
When their company, McLean Trucking, was going through some major restructuring.
Yeah, and this wasn't just like a, you know, minor change.
Yes,
this was like layoffs and recalls.
Yeah, the whole nine yards.
The seniority rights, yeah.
Yeah, they felt like their seniority rights were being ignored.
Something that unions are typically, you know, very carefully guarding.
And these drivers were not just sitting back and taking it.
No, they weren't.
They actually filed grievances.
Mm-hmm.
They even went so far as to sue both McLean Trucking and the union.
Right.
But then things took a turn because McLean declared bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy.
Yes.
That really changes things.
That really changed the whole legal landscape of this case.
Dramatically.
Yeah. Now it's just the drivers against the union.
Yeah.
And the central question became, did these drivers have a right to a jury trial in this type of case?
Yes.
So, you know, just on the surface.
You would think.
You would think, of course, Seventh Amendment right.
Absolutely.
But I'm sensing there's more to this story.
It's more complicated.
What makes this situation so complicated?
Well, the Seventh Amendment guarantees a right to a jury trial in suits at common law.
Right.
But applying that language, which is centuries old.
Right.
To a modern labor dispute, that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah. Legal gymnastics.
A little bit of legal gymnastics, yeah.
So walk us through this. What hurdles did the court have to clear to figure this out?
So the Supreme Court used a two-part test to try and determine if the Seventh Amendment applied here.
Okay.
The first part of the test was to ask, does this dispute resemble historical cases that would have been decided by juries back in the 18th century in English courts?
Wow. So they're going way back.
Way back.
Into the history books to figure this out.
Yeah. Trying to find a good historical analogy.
Okay. What's the second part of the test?
The second part focuses on the remedy that the drivers were looking for. They wanted back pay for the wages that they felt they had lost because of what the union did or didn't do.
Okay.
And so the court had to decide, is back pay a legal remedy or is it what's called an equitable remedy?
Okay. Now, I think this is where our listeners might be like,
confused.
Wait, what? Legal versus equitable. Break that down for us.
Yeah. So it can get a little jargony. So legal remedies, think of that as like money damages.
Okay.
Historically, those were decided by juries. Equitable remedies are more about fairness and they might involve things like injunctions.
Yeah. Okay.
Court orders to do or not do something.
Okay.
Those were historically decided by judges.
Got it.
So did this case belong in front of a jury or a judge?
That's a good question. And they had to go all the way back to the 1700s to figure this out.
Right.
So what historical analogy did they land on? Did they find a good match?
It was tough.
Yeah.
Because, you know, labor unions, the whole concept of a duty of fair representation didn't even exist in 18th century England.
Yeah, that's true.
So the court was split on which analogies fit best.
All right.
Some justices thought that the union's duty was similar to a trustee managing assets for a beneficiary.
Okay, I can see that.
Which leans towards an equitable relationship.
Right, because the union's supposed to be looking out for its members.
Right.
Like a trustee looks out for the beneficiary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Other justices thought the relationship was more like an attorney and a client.
Right.
Which would make it legal. But the big difference there is that a client can fire their attorney.
Right.
You can't fire your union.
You can't just ditch your union.
If you don't like them, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah. So even figuring out what legal box to put this in was a challenge for the court.
It was a real challenge.
But at the end of the day, did these drivers get their jury trial?
They did.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have to hear more about that after the break.
It was a close decision, but yeah, the Supreme Court ultimately sided with the drivers.
Wow.
And said they do have a right to a jury trial.
So they got their day in court.
They did.
Okay. So even though those historical analogies were kind of all over the place.
Murky at best.
The deciding factor was that back pay issue.
Yeah.
Whether it was a legal remedy or an equitable remedy.
Exactly.
So the court really had to dig deep into whether or not that back pay fell into the legal category.
Yeah, they had to look at whether the union was like wrongfully holding on to these funds or if it was tied to some kind of injunctive relief.
Oh, interesting.
They even compared it to back pay awards in Title VII civil rights cases.
So they were looking at all different kinds of cases.
A lot of precedent to try to make sure that this decision was really solid.
They wanted to be consistent with the law.
With the law, yeah.
But I'm guessing not all the justices were on board with this outcome.
You're right. It wasn't unanimous.
Were there any, like, dissenting opinions?
Yeah, Justice Kennedy.
Okay.
He wrote a dissenting opinion, and he argued that this case was more similar to, like, a trust action. You know, where you have a beneficiary suing a trustee.
Okay.
And that historically falls under the equitable umbrella.
Okay. I see where he's coming from.
So he felt like the relationship between a union and a member was closer to that.
Than an attorney and a client.
Yeah, than an attorney and a client.
Okay. Interesting.
And remember, those cases were typically decided by judges, not juries.
Right. So even though the majority ruled in favor of the jury trial, there was a strong argument to be made on the other side.
Absolutely.
It seems like this case really pushed the court to grapple with all the little details.
Yeah, the nuances.
The nuances of the Seventh Amendment.
Big time.
Were there any other interesting perspectives presented besides just the majority and the dissenting opinions?
Yeah, Justice Brennan.
Right.
He agreed with the outcome that the driver should get a jury trial.
Okay.
But he wrote a concurring opinion where he's simplifying the whole historical analogy test.
Oh, okay.
He thought it was a little cumbersome, and he argued for just focusing on the type of remedy that's being sought.
Okay, so just cut to the chase.
Basically, yeah.
So even within the justices who agreed that a jury trial was the right outcome, there were some different opinions on how to even interpret the Seventh Amendment.
Yeah, and how to apply it to modern cases.
And apply it to modern cases, yeah.
And Justice Stevens, he also wrote a concurring opinion. And he argued the case was more like a common law malpractice action than a trust action.
Right.
So he saw the attorney-client relationship as the stronger analogy.
Wow, so many different perspectives on this case.
It's fascinating, right?
It really is. But in the end, all the justices did agree that these truck drivers
deserved their day in court.
They did deserve their day in court before a jury.
With the jury, yep.
I think this deep dive has really helped me to understand how much careful analysis goes into these Supreme Court decisions.
Right.
It's not just about applying the law. There's so much interpretation and debate.
Yeah.
And looking back at all the history.
Historical context is really important.
To really get it right.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely not just as simple as it seems on the surface.
No, it's a complex process.
It's very complex. Yeah.
And you know, this case really didn't just resolve this one dispute between these drivers and their union.
Right.
It has implications that reach much further.
Okay, so tell me, what are some of the broader impacts of this decision?
Yeah.
How might this affect unions and workers' rights going forward?
Yeah, so we've been talking about this Supreme Court case with the truck drivers and the union.
Yeah.
I'm curious about what kind of impact this decision might have on unions and workers' rights going forward.
Well, this case, you know, it went beyond this one specific dispute.
Right.
I mean, it sent a message to unions about accountability.
Okay.
You know, when union members are seeking money damages like back pay, they have a right to a jury trial.
Right.
And that raises the stakes for unions if they're facing these kinds of claims.
So it kind of empowers the union members to hold their union accountable.
Yeah.
It's not just about going through the internal grievance process anymore.
Right.
If they really feel like they've been wronged,
they have legal options.
They can go to court.
Absolutely.
So that must have some kind of influence on the relationship between unions and their members.
It really does. Like, I imagine unions are going to be more careful about handling these grievances now.
Yeah, more diligent, knowing that their decisions could end up being reviewed.
Right, they could get sued.
Exactly.
So it's like a system of checks and balances.
It is.
The union members have a bit more leverage.
Right.
And the unions have more incentive to act in the best interests of their members.
Absolutely. But, you know,
there
were also some concerns.
Okay, what were people worried about?
Well, some people felt like this decision might make unions more risk averse.
Okay, so less likely to take on the big fights.
Right, less likely to challenge employers, maybe.
Okay, so it's tricky.
It is a delicate balance.
You want to protect the workers.
Right.
But you don't want to weaken the union.
Exactly. And there's another thing, too.
Okay.
Lawsuits, they get expensive.
Yes, they do.
And all those legal fees constrain union resources.
Right.
Which could mean that they have less money to use to actually support their members.
Right. That's a good point.
So you can see how a decision that was intended to be a victory for workers could also create these unintended consequences.
It's really interesting how these Supreme Court cases can have so many ripple effects.
They really do. It's like throwing a stone into a pond.
Yeah.
And the ripples spread out in all directions.
It makes you realize how much impact these decisions have on our lives.
Right. They shape our norms, our laws.
Even the way we think about things.
Exactly.
So this deep dive has been really eye-opening for me.
I agree.
We've gone from truck drivers and their union to, like, the Seventh Amendment.
Yeah.
And even how the Supreme Court makes these decisions.
All connected.
All connected, yeah.
It's fascinating how these seemingly technical legal matters can end up having these real-world consequences.
Yeah, and that's really what this show is all about.
Right.
Trying to explain these complex topics in a way that makes sense.
And show how they affect people's lives.
Before we go, is there anything else that our listeners should be thinking about with this case?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is that, you know, this case focused on money damages.
Right, back pay.
But what about situations where workers are seeking something different?
Like what?
Like maybe they want changes to union policies,
right.
Something that isn't financial.
Right.
Would they have the same right to a jury trial in those situations?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, something to ponder.
Definitely. Well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.